Welcome back. This one says, a monkey came into my home and was swinging on the ceiling fan. I heard the clanging noise of the pull chain, which caught my attention. You know, these monkeys got some dexterity. One of the things I'm disappointed Kitty didn't hear from is probably some of the animal rights persons. I wanted to kind of let them interact with the point that you made about, you know, if we really love them, do we want them to starve and fight between the troops and the humans and so on? But we're definitely going to have to bring you back here and have a full program on this, even looking at the whole program at the Wildlife Reserve, what's happening with them, what's happening with research, what's happening with the whole animal rights community of the past, which wanted to blacklist Barbados for doing the research on the monkeys years ago. What's happening? What's the update with that? But I give you the final word now, with a promise to have you back as soon as possible.
Okay, well, I just wanted to also speak to the issue as to why we tend to see monkeys more at particular times of the year. This time now in the dry season, you have less access to water and to food. And so naturally you're going to see monkeys encroaching more on human territories, trying to source food to eat. But the other thing that the listeners may not be aware of is that the monkey breeding season is from March until May. And so there tends to be an increase in foraging around this time as well in preparation for birthing. And also remember, we also have the impacts of climate change recently, where you're getting disruptions in our weather patterns in the climate. And so you're getting disruptions in the natural food supply. So all of these things are coming together. And that's why you would be also seeing an increase in damage and increase in monkeys at this time of the year. If most of the persons who are affected, they will notice that it tends to flare up more so in the dry season than in the wet season. And I just want them to be aware of, you know, what are the dynamics? Because if we're trying to live in harmony with the monkeys, we still have to understand them, their perspective, what is driving their operations. And maybe in doing that, we can then be more mindful of how we operate. We can have more preparation in place because we know at certain times of the year, we're going to see them more. I know that there are some people who see them all year round because the troops pass through their area, but the damage tends to be greater, more so in the dry season than it is in the wet. And just to wrap up, Corey, I just want to reiterate the things that we are doing. We've got our manual out, which, as you indicated, is available on the website biodiversity.gov.bb. We will be following up with GIS information as it relates to tips on how you can deter monkeys from your property. We are going to be setting up a monkey WhatsApp hotline, and we will provide the number for you by next week, where callers can WhatsApp in their name and their location, their telephone address, and provide us with a location pin so that we can increased trapping in the areas that are heaviest hit. We also have, in terms of the medium to long term, we want to do a study to know what numbers they are so that we can reduce the population in a sustainable way. We want to look at the option of sterilization as our birth control, as a medium to long term initiative, where then we can keep the population under control by basically having surgical operations to keep the population under control. So, and through and through all of this, we are also advocating right through all the time against any cruelty, against any actions that we're taking that will cause unnecessary harm to monkeys, whether it is abuse, torture, but also when it comes to feeding of wild monkeys, we want to discourage persons from doing that, and understanding then that population overgrowth and hunger is also a form of cruelty that we don't want.
Kitty, let me jump in here. No, it's 2 minutes after 11, so we're out of time, but I can entertain you almost like you're a caller. Just give me two more questions, and I can beg my indulgence of my producer. He ain't saying yes, or he ain't saying no, so I carry it on, right? I can read this message. There's two things I really want to look at. The whole idea of the why is the monkey almost seem like sacred. And I can read this one. This one says, can a new industry be launched to use monkey meat as pet food? I know there's a high sensitivity in the wider world about the treatment of these particular animals, but other animals are killed for food. Why is the monkey sacred? I want to get the ministries. Say we're going to euthanize. That is seen to be the most humane way to kill, which puts down, but it's almost like a poison, so then you can't use it for food. There are many animals that are slaughtered daily. Pig, sheep, goat. Can the monkey be slaughtered like that? Or is it inhumane when you do it to a monkey but not to a pig? Or sheep or chicken, why is does the monkey hold some kind of sainthood, sacredhood that we are unaware of?
No, Corey, I think that we're confusing two things here. Mm-hmm. There is what is the natural or the desire of our population, which has not been towards wild meat. We are a population that has been accustomed to eating domesticated animals. Mm-hmm. You go to Grenada, you get a lot of wild meat. You go to Asia, you get lots of wild meat. Mm-hmm. But most Barbadians will balk at eating monkeys. Mm-hmm. So it is not, if the person can find a way to encourage persons to eat monkeys, then that's a different story. Mm-hmm. And that is a cultural nuance that is driven by what the population has come up and is interested in doing. So that's one. As it relates to
if I slaughter a monkey for, let's say, a pet meat, that would not be considered animal cruelty or anything. I wouldn't get charged under the Animal Cruelty Act, right?
I don't believe so at this point, unless the numbers came down to an endangered list.
Okay, gotcha.
But what would be important would be the process with which you did it.
Correct.
The same way how we wouldn't, if you take an animal to the slaughterhouse, to the abattoir, you can't transport the animal and have it under stress before you slaughter it.
Right.
That is inhumane. So how you handle the animal before you slaughter is critically important. And it's also important to us as consumers, because when animals are under stress before slaughter, they're going to produce different hormones and enzymes in their bodies as a result of it, which then we are going to end up consuming. So this is not good for us. It is not good for human health and well-being. And therefore, it's not something we would want to encourage. And certainly, it is not the approach always. This idea of humane isn't to say that we have monkeys on a pedestal. The idea of humane is that we don't want a situation where you are treating an animal in a way that
poorly,
is unnecessary.
Right. So once you treat it nice, you slaughter it nice, everything good. The second thing, or the last question I'm going to ask now, is in terms of the ability to export and so on. No, I don't know if you know, or you got to do your research, maybe talk about this when you come back, but if you do, could you shed some light on this whole idea of the export of the monkey for research? Can we still do that, or is that in discussion, or where are we with that?
I would like to, you know, this is a sensitive subject. And the reality is that for maybe 35 years, the monkeys have been contributing to the lives of human beings, because the kidneys of the Barbados green monkey has been used to make polio vaccines. Mm-hmm. I think maybe 75% of polio vaccines around the world have come from Barbados green monkeys. Of course, now that has all changed since 2019. That no longer is the process, because we are now using stem cell research to generate polio vaccines. So the issue of biomedical research and using animals to test is largely changing. The landscape is changing because of stem cell research. But having said that, I'm certain that persons would have seen recently with COVID-19, they were looking at, I think it was the macabre monkey, or the rhesus monkey. Did I pronounce it right? I never get these pronunciations right. But there's been an uptake in monkeys to address the issue of COVID-19 vaccines. This is always a sensitive subject in terms of how you're handling animals. And I certainly can't speak to the export of live monkeys at all. But that is our remit, is just making sure that we are removing the population or reducing the population in a humane way. But We can say at least thank you to the Barbados Green Monkeys for 35 years in providing polio vaccine solutions to the entire human race. And that is something that we can say thank you to them for.
All right. Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been on the air with the Chief Agriculture Officer, Keely Holder. It was a pleasure. I want to take this opportunity to publicly congratulate you. I'm one who get a little, I'm very cautious when I say the first female, because it is actually like we are now relooking ourselves as a society, and the lack of progress. It speaks to the inequality before, but the progression that we are making now. So I want to say truly from the bottom of my heart, congratulations. I wish you all the best. You're going to need all the best in this very exciting but sometimes very difficult area. And I want to thank you for spending the first hour with us here on the Wednesday edition of Brass Stats. I want to wish you Godspeed.
Thank you so much, Corey.
And thank you as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that was
All right,
Keely
take care.
Holder. Thank you and have a good day. We now move into the main area of today. I know some of you on the line may still want to talk a bit of the monkey business. I still got some interesting WhatsApps that I want to read. So we continue with this, the Wednesday edition of Dr. Brass Stats. And we say good morning and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning, morning.
Keely said a mouthful. The monkey population, it actually did a good job of it, but we have to look forward to the future. Now, the Barbados is becoming more and more barren. A lot of the land, about 90% that used to produce sugar cane, is now out of sugar. It's growing grass, it's growing a lot of wild trees, and it's growing all sorts of things. It means now that we have taken away the monkey habitat. Whereas before, these hills and fields used to produce all kinds of fruits and vegetables. Barbados was a garden, but the garden of the Caribbean. You could get fruits and vegetables all over the place. Now it's literally barren. So the monkey has less food, and the population is increasing. So it therefore means that a little food that is available now, that you plant, right, is going to be consumed by the monkeys because it's scarce. And the monkey population continues to increase. I heard a guy say that putting down a newspaper is foolishness, that the monkey dance and rot in the newspaper. That has not been my experience. I've seen newspaper, I myself have put down newspaper to control monkeys with tremendous effect, 100%. When they step or mistake, step on the newspaper, they dance around and get anxious and suspicious and run away. So the newspapers do work.
So you've been farming. Let me ask you this question, because what you said before was said about less food, but the newspaper was said to be effective, but only for a period of time. So have you been farming a particular area using
All my life.
newspaper? Wait, just let me ask you a question.
All my life.
So you've been farming all your life in a particular area,
Yeah.
same troops of monkeys, same newspaper, and it continued to work for a very long time and work right through?
Exactly, monkeys, yeah. I
Okay.
see that.
No problem at all.
That has been my experience.
You see,
And
I think that is interesting, because one of the things I think I read was someone saying we should actually get farmers who had success to come on and talk about it. Because when Keely started, she started with a long list of things that you can use, and in some things work for some and some work for others. So to me, this has been the thing that worked for you. And we can encourage others listening to try it and see if it worked for them in the long term. Because for
Yeah.
some people, it seemed to only work in the short term. So I thank you for that second point. Do you have any other points you want to raise?
With respect to land cultivation and the barren Barbados, now we have barren Barbados, because if sugarcane is now out of production, nobody's producing sugarcane. It therefore means that a lot of crops that used to be produced in rotation of sugarcane, like yams, cassava, edibles, you name it, they are no longer being produced as well. Right? And a lot of land now is being idle around, and they're really just to grow houses. It seems to be more economical to have land idle for a long period of time, which would allow you then to go to apply for permission to subdivide it and make a large economical benefit. So I believe that I was discussing this with someone, that the government should in some cases impose a tax on those who have land laying idle for a long while or that is not in production, so that they will have to pay a penalty if they are not producing. Mm-hmm. And those that are producing, you could probably reduce the tax, and that would be an incentive for everybody to come into agriculture.
But it sounds like you said that no one is growing sugar, but the back page of today's Nation show that says geared up to grind, and Portville factory getting ready to, you know, grind some sugar. So somebody got to be growing it somewhere.
When I say growing canes,
You mean growing less. But you said growing none. So sometimes somebody listening may not understand.
Nothing that compared, listen,
correct.
90% or 80% of the cane that used to be produced.
Well, say that, because remember we have young people listening to the program as well too. That's all they're saying. But to your point, your 3 points are well made, and I want to thank you for coming in and making them. Thank you very much. Good morning. And welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, please. You got your radio on in background? Something on in background. I don't want you to be confused.
Okay. Corey, greetings.
Greetings.
Well, first of all, Mr. Agriculture, P. Wesley, was not given the opportunity to develop. He was going on to another point, and he was cut. But...
He wasn't cut, you know. Me use that comment to educate the callers so we can have a better program between the moderator,
but
the producer, and the caller.
We had
11 minutes or so to go, and he was talking about Keely and how she feels about being the first female.
Right.
Thing. No, that's for another time. But no, he should have probably get to the point because we had limited time, so I had to move on.
No, I was hoping to get on when she was there too. Actually, I was of the impression that the entire program was looking at monkeys, so...
We can have one of those, so I apologize. I thought it would have been a little longer too, but we had an hour and we had to make the best of it. But she's still listening, so run the track.
Good. So, I'm glad that you took the little extra time before she left to read that WhatsApp, because it was a line that I have been thinking about for a good time. Why don't we think about re-educating the Barbados population, a public education program, about the whole idea of eating the monkey, including it in our cuisine. Mm-hmm. The reality is that for those who travel or nowadays you can simply Google, there are many, many cultures and countries in the world that eat the monkey.
But even here in the Caribbean, you know how good the world. Got people in the Caribbean that eat monkey.
In the Caribbean.
But you know, we start big. We talk national.
There are some people that eat monkey.
But what about you? You would eat it? You eat some already?
Yeah, I would eat it. I would eat anything that other people in the world eat, because I have an open mind. And I'm able to, as people say, look outside of the box. The limited box of our acculturation.
I get where you're coming from, because if somebody put some monkey meat, you know, and it look a certain way, smell a certain way, taste a certain way, The most people will say, taste like chicken. And therefore, and if somebody tell you after the fact, then you may be a little upset. But I agree with you that sometimes it's just about the mind. It's our culture, how we raise.
It is the mind, Corey.
Well, I said, you know, here saying I eat it nine.
As you would know, Corey, the power of socialization.
Yep. Very powerful.
Very powerful. I mean, even we black people still deal with the issue of color and blackness and hair.
Correct. It's so ingrained in us.
It's ingrained, right?
In the society.
So I recognize that it would need, first of all, an educational program.
No, I disagree. First, it would need is somebody paving the way, somebody to show the example. I don't know if you want to be that person that's going to catch one, see, eat it, and come back and tell us how it tastes like. How was it?
But all of that is part of the education program.
That's true, too.
Process.
I get that point. That's true.
Getting people to, who, because there are some people in Barbados who eat monkey, and also sharing what happens in other countries where people prepare. Look, if you Google, you will see people eat rats.
Yep.
People eat cockroaches.
They eat some of everything.
Everything.
Raw and cooked, too.
Right. You see rats on a grill. Like, we have pigtails.
Yeah.
And people eat them. So, to be to make a long story short, that is my suggestion. One, I'm not suggesting that we necessarily eat them straight from the well, but we do have in the same Ministry of Agriculture up there in the Pine, there's a place there that tests meat to ensure that it is free of diseases. Right there in the Pine, the chief would have been able to address that. They test meat to ensure that it is safe for consumption, so we can educate the Barbadian population to the effectiveness and of eating the monkey, and we can test the meat when we catch them from the wild, and then put it to market. And that is so important because it would save foreign exchange. Mm-hmm. You see, we are only socialized to eat chicken, lamb, beef.
Mm-hmm. Traveling the Caribbean, I can tell you, Barbadians are the safest eaters. They just have, lamb, chicken, fish, and beef, and outside of that, of course, I can't forget the pork for the pork pulse, but outside of that, but when I travel the Caribbean, the couscous and the dog and the monkey, the snake, and the frog legs, and but here we keep it simple, we keep it very, very simple. Anyhow, sir, we got to take a break. Thank you for calling, and this is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
SunPower Hot Water Systems, established in 1978, can bring some warmth and sunshine into your life as easy as 1, 2, 3. We have in-house payment plans with up to 6 months repayment on new hot water systems and 4 months repayment on replacement tanks and panels. Financing is also available from Massey and Quartz Barbados Limited. SunPower Limited also offers attractive discounts to members of BARC on new and replacement systems. Call your sales rep or the office at 428-0634 and get your SunPower today.
Get your SunPower.
Win 400 in 40 seconds.
$400.
VOB's 40th anniversary in 2021. Be the first to answer 4 questions correctly in 40 seconds on the last Friday in every month of this year. Listen during the month for clues and stand by for the 40 seconds quiz in the morning of the last Friday in the month. No winner this morning? Then the 40 seconds quiz will be back in the afternoon. No winner for the day? Then the prize money rolls over to the next month. Listen to VOB and be a winner.
$400.
January to December. VOB 92.9 FM celebrating 40 years in 2021. Jergens, distributed by Massey Distribution, Smart Med Pharmacy, Live Well, and Pediasure, nutrition to help kids grow.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Just moving off of the monkey discussion right now, we got some questions here on the vaccine. This one says, my parents got called for their vaccine appointment yesterday and were told to go this morning at 10 a.m. to Leicester Vaughan. Of course, there's a line, which is to be expected, but can you tell me why they are now telling everyone that they're only doing 70 and over, regardless of whether or not you have an appointment or not? And it is a very long WhatsApp, so I can't read all of it, but the person is saying this is poor, poor, poor. That's the point. Now, I heard Dr. Ferdinand stressing that they'd be doing no walk-ins, they're doing 70 and over, and I didn't know if it included appointments or not. But I wouldn't say they didn't tell, I would say it should be broadcast. I mean, don't broadcast, the word broad comes to mind, you need it as broad as possible. So you need to use the radio, the television, the social media, all media to ensure that people don't go and line up long. And the other thing I find with these long lines that we have to change and we have to be cognizant of about is informing people in the line what the line is about. I've heard about people going in these extremely long lines to enter into a store, for instance, but the line was really for bill payment. You get to the top, you realize you could have walked right through. Or people in a long line for one reason or another and realizing it is the wrong line. So I think that instead of just being stringent on people about the various protocols, you should have someone there to indicate what the lines are really about, because we're talking about productivity, people's time, and serious inconvenience. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Am I on?
Yes, you are. Live and direct.
Yeah. Good day to you, Corey.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I sorry that I missed the new female chief agriculture officer. I have my phone off, my radio off, but I can still hear some kind of repeating in the back.
Well, are you sure? I'm not hearing it here, so continue.
My radio is off for sure. I can hear. Anyhow.
No problem. Your voice in your head. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a small farmer. And I'm a small farmer with more than 52 mango trees. Nothing to deal with the soursop, the sugar apples, from Staffordilla back. But my problem, and I know that the Minister of Agriculture be here because he would know who I am. I'm a part of the project that just started up in St. John a couple of months ago.
Okay. That's with the bananas. That's a bar for bananas.
He has never get help from the Minister of Agriculture. He came and he cut them trees and plant and all them things. But I talk to the one above that government had blow up the two set on the two sides of the road. Up to now, last time the minister been up there, he came up there and he came out here. I was down in the spring, because you know that land is higher than where the spring gone, a higher elevation. He came up there and saw me down there with sickle and hoe cleaning out the spring. So I know more than a gallon, I want the people of Barbados to know, more than 100 or maybe a million gallons of water goes down to the sea every day. I asked him already on that Sunday when he came up there, what is he going to do about financing it? Because you tell flow up land and tell men go on the land and the state down there. I sent three truckloads. Anyone would tell you, and the great God, and he's such a great God Almighty that caused this life to go on upon the face of the earth. I sent three truckloads of fruit trees up there. Consist of peered, name it. And yet still up there the water going gushing to the sea, and we have no source of thing. And all up there just need is solar energy set up one part that you can use pump from there down in the spring. Because there's real water that lives for year.
So you want them to dam? You want them to dam the water and pump it for irrigation?
Don't blow up.
I'll take it easy. Listen. I think that's a fantastic idea, and I know that their
like
number.
I would like the same sister to come on Sunday and let me discuss about this.
No, I definitely can have her here a couple Sundays for sure. Because agriculture is.
We want to come
in the studio.
Talking over a mic and nothing. And see what the life is going. Because you don't plant advanced agriculture in a studio or office. It's a physical something that must go on. Right. I did planting trees.
Well, I know she got beat the pavement. I know she's been a farmer for some time, and it may be interesting for her to come up there and speak with you.
Corey, I'm 65 years of age, and I come up on the elder people that come, like my grandmother that lived 101 years, grannies who teach me about planting. Granny went in the ground till she's 93. As I was saying, there's lots of things. I went already, this is what Barbados needs. Barbados need coconut trees too. Sugar cane is a dumb thing. Unless you're going to do like me. Because that's the only body that you can find in St. Philip. And very few people that have a cane mill. I have a stainless steel cane mill. I supply people with cane juice. But I know that the cane project, as Eric Barrett said.
You know, lost me there, Apple. You say that sugar cane is foolishness, but then you say you supply people with cane juice.
How we doing it.
Oh, the way we're doing it, the sugar cane. Oh, how we managing it.
And how we manage it, and how nobody come with creativity. Because I make cane syrup already of different things. I want to let you know my secret.
But that's the problem, you know. You keeping the secrets there so the people can't improve the game. Continue to do foolishness.
But you know what happened? Sometimes small people got ideas, and then when you ask for help, you don't get it, and then other people
So you don't want people to take the idea that you want them to help you facilitate it.